Prologue. People who live on the shores of an ocean or a sea know what to do when a squall comes in. Lovers of salt, whippy air and fermenting waves enjoy the kick they get from the sudden, short-lived storm. But not Winter Peregrine, sole owner of a small island, and mother and grandmother of a family insulated by the waters of the Long Island Sound. Never has she waded out to a waiting scull, rowed till she collapsed, nor has she experienced the thrill of hooking a bluefish, a flounder, or a sea bass. Nothing she does allows the sport of the sea into her life. She prefers to observe it, and from her shut-tight windows, she has learned its secrets well. Nevertheless, in a squall, Winter would probably perish, unlike her daughter Elsipath, who relishes risk. Hooking a fish is child's play for Elsie, as she prefers to be called. She enjoys a fight for survival, water skiing upside down on her fingertips while ricocheting between rocks at low tide. This is another one of her passions. And squalls, one would assume Elsie thrives on them. Her daughter, Tiny Petta, however, would never hook a fish, never water ski where crabs multiply and make their homes. To become one with her habitat and to safeguard sea life from sudden ravages, this she sees as her mission, particularly in a squall. In our mind's eye, we picture the family on the beach, the grandmother on wet sand, her forehead coated with the sweat of icy fear. Way ahead of her, the daughter, looking back, knee-deep in a stony tidal pool. And behind them both, we imagine we hear humming and the skip and splash of a little girl's feet. The three of them together are like inharmonious survivors on a raft, fated to capsize if thrust together too long, we think. But then again, maybe not. For what you see or think you see on Peregrine Island is seldom what it seems.
Chapter 1. Winter. In the beginning, when Petta told me that an old man named Jake lived with his dog, Scarecrow, under the pier, I didn't believe her, because like me, she is a storyteller and a follower of fantasies. In retrospect, I should have paid more attention to her, when she crouched low as if she were dodging rats that hid in the shadows of the derelict jetty, when she spread her ribbon-thin arms wide to describe the radius between the boulders that formed the old man's living space. And I should have heeded her when, giggling, she announced that Scarecrow was as sleek as Jake was dated, and that with a shine to his coat, Scarecrow was a braggart of a dog who led Jake, neglected and bedraggled, around by his belt. Down on the beach of the Long Island Sound, on an island off the Connecticut side where one wouldn't expect to see rats as big as cats living in seawalls. But no one believed Petta, least of all me. Not about the rats, or about Jake, or about his smooth, silky dog, Scarecrow. At least, not in the beginning. At that time, even the girl's mother, Elsie, dismissed Petta, lamenting that her daydreams were unnatural. Because after spending time with Jake, Petta would often repeat riddles she claimed had fallen from the old man's tongue. Once, she said blithely, "There's nothing that concentrates the mind like the prospect of death." Naturally, I, Winter, as the girl's grandmother, was quite concerned. Still, after keenly watching my granddaughter, who sat at my knee, I determined that she possessed a precocious imagination, is all. Or maybe I merely misinterpreted her words.